We'll look this morning at the evangelization of the Cherokee Indians. We've talked about one of these men before, but we'll just go through this again. The first gospel work among the Cherokee Indians in North Carolina is a tribute to a pastor named William Posey. He was the pastor of Cane Creek Baptist Church near Henderson. And Posey had moved to Virginia to the Cane Creek Church in 1785. And as he worked there and building that church, he was really burdened about the Cherokee Indians, who were primarily, the main population in North Carolina at that time. And the Lord really burdened him about that, and he longed to find a way to evangelize them. And as the Lord does so many times, the Lord called him to then go work among the Cherokees. And so he began doing what he could without any help. And then eventually, on December 1st, 1817, he resigned his church and became a missionary, a full-time missionary to the Cherokees. And in 1819, God laid on his heart to begin a school for the Cherokees, as they were mostly ignorant as far as the language. The language wasn't written down very well. There wasn't much written. And so he wanted to start a school. And he made a very difficult three-day journey to meet with President James Monroe and John C. Calhoun, who was the Secretary of War. Isn't that interesting that the President of the United States would take interest in spiritual things and opening up of a missionary school? And President Monroe put his full weight behind it. He endorsed, he was very much in agreement with starting that school. And so the school began in 1821, and then another family joined Pastor Posey, the Evan Jones family, Mr. and Mrs. Evan Jones, and soon a Sunday school was established. And this is probably the first Sunday school ever established in North Carolina. Slowly, the Indians responded. It was a very difficult time, as there were rumors that would become true, that the Indians were going to be moved out of that area and moved west. And so it was a very troubling time for the Indians, and there was great agitation, so it made everything more difficult to reach these people. But they began slowly to see God work, and there were several very strong Baptist churches built in that part of North Carolina with the Cherokee Indians. Two of the most notable converts, and it's always interesting how the Lord works among people, but two of the first converts and the most important converts perhaps were two Indian chiefs, very powerful chiefs, one named Kaneda. He was a full-blooded Cherokee. He later changed his name to John Wycliffe. And then a man who we have discussed before, who has a very interesting name, Jesse Bushyhead. And he was a chief there. These two chiefs were saved. And I'm going to talk about Mr. Bushyhead this morning. But he was born in 1804 in Georgia. He was saved in 1830 under the pastorship of this man, Mr. Posey. He was a very brilliant young man, and he started in this school. He learned both English and his native language, of course. He grew in grace rapidly. He became a very strong Christian very quickly, and he soon felt compelled to preach to his people. So this, of course, is what a missionary wants, as a national pastor. And so he was ordained in 1833, and he began a local church there in 1833 among the Cherokee people. Soon it was an outstanding Baptist church. And Jesse Bushyhead was not just a great pastor, but he was also used all over the country in negotiations with other Indians. He actually wrote the first Cherokee Nation Constitution. Then he was called upon by the President of the United States to come down to St. Augustine, Florida, and to assist him in negotiations with the Seminole Indians down there. Very, very great man in several fields. And, then we want to talk about a time in our country which is a really sad time. It's called the Trail of Tears. And whichever way you land on this issue, this was a terrible time in our nation's history, where we moved the Indians from their homes to the west, to Oklahoma, and actually we didn't tell them where we were taking them, and they were driven like slaves, really thousands and thousands of these people out of the east to Oklahoma. And now God uses this time, and God used this time and these men, Pastor Bushyhead, Pastor Jones and his wife, Pastor Posey, they all went with these people. God had called them to minister to these people, and so they went on the trail with these people as they walked almost 1,000 miles, literally walked. There were no horses. They just, all these thousands of people walked about 1,000 miles to Oklahoma. Along the way, of course, many died, and that is a sad thing, but one of the good things was that just thousands and thousands of Cherokee and Seminole and different Indian tribes were saved as they moved west. And of course, the largest influence, the largest missionary influence among these people were the Baptists. And so, you know, when they arrived in Oklahoma, actually the terminal point in Oklahoma was known by different names. They called it Breadtown, they called it Cherokee, but the most lasting name and the most popular name was they just called the town Baptist. And so these missionaries felt that at that time, the most important thing to do was, as these people stopped in Oklahoma, was to center them around. So literally they would plant a Baptist church and then center the people around that, the tribal people around that, literally around the building and around that area, so that each tribe had a local church and the evangelism could spread out. It was very well thought through and very interesting time. I remember I've heard current day missionaries talking about the influence of the Baptists and how many Indian tribes will not talk to anybody, won't let any outside influence come in unless they're a Baptist pastor, even today. I know there's a tribe in northern Michigan that will not allow anybody in to witness to them, to deal with their people unless they're Baptist. And that goes back to this influence from these years ago when the Baptist missionaries were called of God and took this very seriously. And so, anyway, this very, you know, very difficult time, but Bushyhead was traveled with the people. He was the only man of any standing who could travel among all these Indian tribes unarmed, except for his Bible. And but tragically, on July 13th, 1844, when he seemed to be at the very height of his ministry, the man of God was seized by a fever and never recovered. In the Cherokee Messenger, which is the national Cherokee newspaper, they had an account of his death, and I wanted to read that to you. He said, "During his sickness, he was sometimes not able to speak, and sometimes not allowed to do so, lest it should aggravate his disease. But when he did speak, he expressed the most satisfying and unshaken confidence in God through the blessed Redeemer. His mind seemed to be enraptured with a view of the teachings of God conveyed to the soul by various channels, by his work, by his servants, by his spirit. Sometimes he had an intense and satisfying view of the glory of God's sovereign power. Speaking of his sickness, he said, 'If it be his will to raise me up, he can do it. He will do it through your labor and effort. But if it is his will not to raise me up, I am satisfied.' And the day he died, though burning with fever and not allowed to utter his delightful feelings, he said, 'I am a very, very happy state of mind.' No look nor expression was allowed to cast a shade of doubt over his hopes, full of immortality, which filled the soul and beamed in the countenance of our brother, and which sustained him in the last conflict. In the midst of labors daily extending in number and efficiency, he is taken away from the field to join the triumphant hosts who encircle the Redeemer's throne." And that was in the National Cherokee newspaper, as everyone in the Cherokee Nation knew who Jesse Bushyhead was. Bushyhead was buried in Westville, Oklahoma. On his marker, on his grave, it reads, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." So this wonderful man of God, who had seen thousands of people saved, he was barely 40 years old. He'd only been saved about 13 years when the Lord took him home. Just really an amazing ministry among his people. And it makes me think of a couple of things. One is that these two men that were saved and did so much work among their people were chiefs. They were the very important people, and the pastor was not afraid to approach the most important people in that area and see them saved, because he was aware that if he could see these folks saved, you know, their influence would be outstanding. And it makes me think about how many times we're afraid to approach people with wealth or maybe a politician or somebody with an important position, and yet, you know, we know that God uses that, and we shouldn't be afraid to do that. But also, as Preacher mentioned Thursday night about national pastors, you know, every race, in every race, our Lord has faithful servants, and they are best able to reach their own people, as Preacher talked about, you know, the importance of the national pastors and those churches in the southern province of Zambia. He just mentioned this the other night. And I think about the influence that this man had, and we need to really pray for our missionaries, for their safety, for their ministry, but maybe most importantly, that they can raise up national pastors to take those churches, because those are the people that the people will listen to mostly. And we want to just really pray for especially those backward nations like the third world nations and Cambodia and Africa, of course. But in every mission field, the national pastor is so important. So we want to pray for our missionaries today, and just wanted to give you the story of Jesse Bushy had this morning. All right, that's it, if you'll come.